Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
He had some type of experience when his heart stopped where he felt such an incredible love and that he had experienced something real that has given him a sense of what's to come.
Everybody has a story, and everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning.
It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope.
And power.
It has many characters.
And so you and I
are a part of it.
We're not the hero.
This is Epic.
Hi, this is Meredith Foster. For many of us, death is something to fear. We spend a lot of time avoiding the topic. We don't even want to think about it. Dennis Ritter has had more close calls with death than you can imagine. But for Dennis and his wife, Dawn, one experience in particular radically changed their perspective. Their brush with death was a confirmation of hope and of peace, an incredible story of death losing its sting. This is Chapter 31 of Epic, Dennis and Dawn Ritter's story.
I think it was like a March 30th, 2007. And I went into work, and it was just a regular day when I started, but I was having a little pain in the middle of my chest, and it felt like if you ever swallowed a lifesaver whole and it goes down and gets stuck. That's what it felt like right in the middle of my chest. And it would happen, it'd last about 30 seconds to a minute, and then it'd go away. But it kept happening all morning long. And so at lunchtime, I went out to my truck, and I laid the seat back and probably fell asleep, I think. And then after I got up, after 20, 30 minutes, it all went away. I thought, yeah, everything must be okay. I kind of thought about, could I be having a heart attack? And I thought, no, my blood pressure is fine. My cholesterol is being taken care of. So I kind of put that aside, thinking it's something else. And then when it went away, I thought, whatever it was, doesn't matter anymore. And so after work, I went to, drove 2.5 blocks to get to the gym, and I worked out. And I generally, I'm lifting weights. I don't think I ran, but I'm lifting a lot of weights for half hour, 45 minutes. And drove home, was doing fine. I wasn't thinking about this at all until I got about half a mile away from home, turned the corner to go into our subdivision, and all of a sudden my chest just started exploding with heat and fire. And just, I've never experienced something like that. I wasn't thinking heart attack, I don't think, because the pain was so overwhelming. I couldn't think of anything other than this hurts. And so I got home and was changing clothes in the bedroom, and I couldn't finish changing clothes. I felt so bad. So I laid on the bed and I called Dawn and just told her, Dawn, I don't feel good. And then
our daughter Karen and I were in town and got his phone call, and he had been through lots of different visits with the hospital and different physical things throughout his life. And so I thought, okay. And I asked him, I said, do I need to call an ambulance? And he said, no, just get home as quickly as you can. So Karen and I think we were finishing a meal out, and as I think back, I thought, I hope I paid for that before I left the building. But we got in the car, and this was back in 2007 when we didn't have smartphones, but we had cell phones. So I didn't have phone numbers saved of friends and family, but I thought of a phone number of a neighbor that I could call. And it was the only number that came to my mind. So I quickly called a friend, thinking that she would answer the phone and maybe could go over and check on Dennis as we were hurrying home. And she wasn't home, but her husband unusually was home at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And he was working on his truck that had not been working that day. And he was working on trying to get it started. And I asked him, I said, Bill, could you just run over quickly and check on Dennis? We're on our way home, but he doesn't sound good. And Bill said, yes, I will do that. And so he ran over, saw that Dennis was not doing well at all, and called me right back and said, meet us at the hospital. So Karen and I made a turn, and we turned on the Christian radio station, and we started praying out loud. all the way from where we were over to the hospital. And in the meantime, Bill was helping Dennis.
Yeah, he helped me get dressed and got me into his truck. And then he says, where's the hospital? He didn't know where it was at because he hadn't been in town that long.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm thinking, what's the quickest way to get there? So we are driving down the road, and it's kind of funny. I kind of jokingly said this. I said, on my computer is a file called, if I die, look here. Tell Dawn where that's at. It's on the desktop. And I didn't really mean it that seriously, but just in case.
Did you think at that point you were having a heart attack, or did Mm-mm. you have any idea what was going on?
I just had no idea. I just had so many things, different things. I just thought I'm sick with something. Yeah, so I figured I'd be coming home. But then I remember telling Bill to turn here, and then I don't remember anything after a while, after that for a little bit. And then he told me he got a little bit lost because I had gone a little bit unconscious. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I remember was opening my eyes and saying, it's down that road, it's two blocks, there's a hospital. And that's all I remember after that.
So Karen and I had arrived at the emergency room probably a minute before Bill and Dennis, and we were there waiting, and Bill wheeled Dennis in. He was still conscious at that time, and I said, Bill, thank you so much. You can take off, and we'll let you know how things are going. And the nurse took us into the triage area, and we were standing there in the triage room with Dennis in a wheelchair, and the nurse said, I'll be right back. I'm going to step out for a minute. And, right in front of us, his heart stopped and he went into kind of like a seizure where, the body was just shutting down. And we just cried out for help. And the nurse came running back in and grabbed the wheelchair and said, here we go, and wheeled him away. And just moments later, over the intercom, we hear, code blue, code blue. And we were just overwhelmed with emotion. And I remember looking out into the waiting room, and people were watching us going through this. And the chaplain at the hospital came and found us right away and ushered us into the waiting room for grieving family and said, who do you want us to call? And we, both of my parents had passed away years earlier. We didn't have, the only family that we had in town was Dennis's brother and his wife, who happened to be in charge of the emergency room. She was a manager at that hospital. And we had just been at her father's funeral the day before, so we knew they weren't in town. And as we described this to the people who were helping us, they said, no, Dave, his brother, is back in town today. We know, we've been in contact with Lori, who is the sister-in-law who works there at the hospital. And she said, we'll get a hold of Dave. In the meantime, we are in the room praying in this little room with a chaplain. They're trying to find help for us. And the cardiologist was really not happy that we had driven ourselves to the hospital and not called 911. But you see, we lived out on the edge of town, where we have a local fire department that comes first but doesn't transport into town. And if we would have taken the time for Karen and I to arrive home and then to wait for transport, it would have been too late.
And that transportation didn't have a defibrillator at the time, so there's no way I would have made it. I mean, we've already seen a few miracles already with Bill being home when he wasn't supposed to. His truck was not supposed to be working, but for some miracle reason, he said it was like a miracle that he got his truck working just in time for us to come pick us up and get us to the hospital.
So the truck that was broken down is what he drove you to the hospital in?
Yes. Yeah, he had just gotten it fixed, and he was surprised that he had gotten it, I guess.
So Dennis's heart stopped three times on his way into the catheterization lab, and as they were ushering us to the heart cath waiting room, walking down the hall towards me was a parent of a previous student that I had worked with, and she looked right at me and she said, we are going to take care of Dennis. I didn't even know this woman would remember who I was, but I felt like the Lord was planting her there in such a personal and specific way to just speak some encouragement into us. And so we ushered they ushered us to the waiting room. Karen and I were there. Soon Dennis's brother came. Bill, our friend who really saved his life, came. His wife came. And we were just really on the floor. We melted into a puddle of prayer, just asking God to preserve his life and to just guide the doctors who were working with him. Just time after time, we felt like the Lord was making himself so present in a personal way. People who would come and the words that they would speak to us were more than just words of encouragement. They became like pylons that were lifting us up. I think sometimes people don't know what to say or what to do when people are in crisis like that. And just having presence there, sitting around with us, some people who knew the Lord, some people who didn't, but just the presence of them being there and the words that they spoke to us, God uses that in such a tangible ways.
So your heart stopped in the lobby of the emergency room.
45 seconds after he arrived.
Tell me the medical process that went, because you said it stopped three times. I wanted to make sure I understand exactly what happened.
Right. So when he was in the triage room and he went into that seizure, his heart had stopped and they whisked him over to one of the emergency rooms. They got him up on the bed and one of the doctors climbed up on top of him and was starting to do CPR. And then they had to use the defibrillator to bring him back. And so they got him started again that time. They ushered Karen and I over to the side of his bed after they got him a little bit stabilized. And I remember looking at him and saying, you know, what's going on? You know, how are you doing? And as we were talking, his heart stopped again.
He was responsive and his heart stopped again?
Yes, yes. Yeah, he looked at me and, you know, he was just kind of out of it a little bit. But his heart stopped again, and I heard the nurse say, cardiologist, you know, get up here. And so the chaplain took Karen and I back over to the waiting room again, and we just were in the hallways of that emergency room just crying out to the Lord and just speaking truth and claiming life and peace and power. And so it had stopped twice, and then on his way at some point to the cath between the emergency room and the heart cath lab, it had stopped again, and so they had to defibrillate him again. So three times he was brought back, really, to life. And he was quite ill after they had got him stented. They put three stents in, but he was quite ill through the night. And I stayed with him. We had a friend take Karen home, and I remember staying with him that night and just watching him like a hawk and watching his heart, you know, his breathing, his chest rise and fall, and just be so thankful that God had preserved us and walked us through this particular episode in his life. And I remember Dennis telling me that he had some type of experience when he was, when his heart stopped, where he felt such an incredible love and almost a disappointment when he woke back up and found out, you know, he was still here. And
did he share that with you that night?
During the night. Yeah, during that night, he had said, you know, and he said it, of course, lovingly. Not that, oh, I'm sorry I have to be here, but that he had experienced something real that has given him a sense of what's to come.
When Dennis's heart stopped those three times, he had an experience, and that experience has completely removed the sting of death for Dennis. Hear his story in part two of Epic. Welcome back to Epic. Thanks so much for listening. You can check out other episodes of Epic on our website. You know, we believe everybody has a chapter in God's great big story. Tell us about yours at myfaithradio.com. Today we're hearing from Dennis and Dawn Ritter. Dennis had had a heart attack. His heart had stopped three times. When Dennis woke up, he told his wife about an experience, one that has completely changed how he feels about death. Here's part two.
He had some type of experience when his heart stopped, where he felt such an incredible love and almost a disappointment when he woke back up and found out, you know, he was still here. And
did he share that with you that night?
During the night. Yeah, during that night, he had said, you know, and he said it, of course, lovingly, not that, oh, I'm sorry I have to be here, but that he had experienced something real that has given him a sense of what's to come. And such a piece about it, and such, it was a drawing, I think, that you felt.
Yes, and there was, and there's more to that part too. So the day before my heart attack, we went to a funeral of my sister-in-law's father. So I'm getting ready, getting dressed to get ready for this funeral. And in my closet is a 8x11 picture of my dad's face. We used that for his obituary. And I walked past that picture, which every time basically I walked past it, I'd look at it, you know, and not think much. But this time I stopped and turned back around again. And I just stared at it, because studied it, because it looked like, it seemed like he was looking at me. And this was before before that first funeral. So I'm thinking, I mean, it looked like he was alive for just for seconds.
Enough to stop you in your tracks.
Enough to stop me in my tracks and just look at it and think, Dad, are you talking to me? And I thought maybe this was happening so that I could give some comfort to those that the funeral I'm going to. And I come to realize it was more than that. I think God was allowing him to speak to me, maybe to say, going to see you soon, you know, looking forward to seeing you. Whatever, I don't know what it was that was being expressed to me, but Dad was alive that day.
So that's another way that God was unexpectedly taking care of the details.
Mm-hmm. Showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is, to me, is interesting too. Not too long before that, for the heart attack, I had read a book called 90 Days in Heaven, and it's about a pastor who was going home from a pastoral conference, and he was run over by some kind of big utility truck and smashed his little vehicle, and he was declared dead at the scene. And for 90 minutes after he woke up, he remembered arriving at the pearly gates, people coming to greet him, and he's shaking people's hands, and then they would all, you know, they would walk off. He remembers seeing the light off in the distance, which he knew that's where God was at. He said he remembered hundreds of angels singing their own spiritual song, and he could understand every single one of them singing. You know, if we hear two or three songs here, we wouldn't be able to catch any of them.
Right.
And he said he remembers a color palette that was so far enriched from what we know, more colors than he could ever dream of. So that has stuck in my head for a long time. And I think when I woke up and I said to Dawn, there's a part of me that wishes I hadn't come back. It's tied to that. It's whatever I experienced. I don't remember what I experienced.
You don't remember what you saw?
I don't remember seeing anything or hearing anything. I just remember being very disappointed because something happened.
I remember you saying that you felt this incredible love and peace. Dennis has had another heart attack since. 2 years later, he had another heart attack, and he's got 5 stents now that are working to keep his heart open and operating, and he exercises regularly like he always has. I think it makes you it's almost like a gift for your marriage, because when you go through something where it's going to be taken away from you, you just have a new respect for it, and we're only promised this day, and we take each day like that. Friends of ours ask, we're waiting for the next heart attack to happen, and he'll probably need bypass, and how do you live with that? And it doesn't feel like a burden, because we just take today.
It's a gift.
It's a gift, and we listen to his heart at night pumping, and we're just thankful for what we have today, because all of this time, the 11 years that we've had, is bonus time. And he got to walk his daughter down the aisle, and he got to see his grandson. So this is all bonus time. But I think part of why Dennis made it through that heart attack is because of all of the other different challenges, physical challenges that he has come through in his life. Starting back when you were 6 years old, and hit by a car, and you weren't expected to make it through that.
Yeah, so recently I was reading a book. My son-in-law gave it to me. It's about a pastor in the Iraq War. He's a Marine. And so he was talking about God's providence and how it was shown throughout some of these Marines' lives. And I started thinking about my life. So when I was 6, I was hit by a car. I wasn't supposed to live. My dad, he was giving me sips of water every 15 minutes because I was crying for water. And the doctors say you don't give anybody with internal injuries all over the place any kind of water because it'll spread infection. But they told him later I wasn't going to live anyway, so it didn't matter. So I lived through that. When I was 12, I was standing in the family room one day, and my mom looks at me and says, "What is wrong with your hip?" It had just popped out of the socket, and it's because there was a fracture in it, I guess, that 1962 technology, they didn't catch it, you know. So I was in a body cast for 3 months, and I had to learn to walk all over again, and so I couldn't play any sports throughout high school. My first 2 years, I couldn't, you know, having trouble walking even, much less trying to play sports. Well, another thing, so after the accident, they told my dad to make sure that I get to college. Because by the time I'm 40, I'm going to be in a wheelchair. That's what I had, and that's what they told me, that's what my dad told me, is to make sure so I get the right kind of job where I can have a sit-down job, because I'm probably going to have a lot of problems. Well, after high school, I'm thinking, I feel pretty good. You know, I'm able to do things again. I think I'm going to go out to the high school, and I'm going to see, can I run 5 miles? And so I got my tennis shoes on, and I ran 5 miles without any problem at all. But I'm thinking at this time, I need to do these kind of things. Otherwise, I'm going to fulfill their prophecy of being in a wheelchair by the time I'm 40. So that's what got me started on exercise. In the years after that, my dad has, you know, I inherited some pretty rotten problems with blood pressure on my mom's side and strokes, and then heart failure on my dad's side. And my dad went through something like 20-some surgeries because his circulation was so bad. And he didn't exercise and, you know, kind of let himself go. Back in those days, that's, you know, people just didn't do that, those right. kind of things. So I'm thinking, I'm 29, 30 years old, thinking, I don't want to get like that either. So I started working out, lifting weights, running, biking, just to keep my physical self healthy.
Yeah.
And those are the two main things that I think God used. That is God's providence, using the car accident, not supposed to live through that. And then I'm not supposed to be healthy after that. And then my dad's, what to expect with my dad's history, my mom's history and my health. I'm thinking I need to do for myself what I can. And God used those things to strengthen my heart so that when I timed out for 3 times, it was strong enough to come back again.
Amazing.
And I look back on it and I know, you know, this is all God's providence in my life. And so God used all that to give me the strength and the hope for the future.
I feel like, you know, there's different valleys, you know, the valley of death. Like Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And I feel like that is the gift that the Lord has given us through that God would be glorified and that God is good, because we learned more about who God was in that valley, and we felt his presence showing up every time we turned the corner. That's kind of one of the lessons that we've learned, is that there's valleys you go through in life and there's trenches that you go through. The trenches are the everyday frustrations of things that happen, and those trenches are kind of a training ground for the valleys that the Lord may bring you through. Even if it's a trench or if it's a valley, the Lord wants to be our all in all, and he wants to be our peace, and he wants to be enough for us. And I feel like that has been the story. Like Job said, "I had heard of you, but now I have seen you." God uses those times, and it's really turns out to be a gift when you can look back and say, "You were there, Lord. You are here, Lord. You will be here when he has his next heart attack." It will probably be an emergent situation for him, and we know that God will be there.
I say from my standpoint, it's I can look back on life, and I think other people too, that you can look back and see that you couldn't see at the time. God is working for you for your good, and you have no idea it's happening. Mm-hmm. But he's always working for our good. So it's comforting for the future. He's going to be working for me still for our good.
Dennis and Dawn say they know it sounds strange, but they see this experience as a gift. It's given them a confidence and an intimacy with God that they never had before. Dennis says this has helped him realize how thankful he is for every single day of life, and it's given him an understanding of just how much Jesus loves him. Big thanks to Dennis and Dawn for sharing their story today. We believe everybody has a chapter in God's great big story. Share yours at myfaithradio.com. Very grateful to the team of folks who bring Epic to life. Thanks to Stefan Johnson for our show's theme song. Thanks to Jason Rakow and Ted Ross for help with production. I'm your host, Meredith Foster. See you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.